and some others.
All right, coming up in the weeks ahead on Sports Lit 101. But right now, we welcome to the show gentleman who hosts what is, for my money, the best sports radio program there is in America every weekend on National Public Radio, Only a Game, and is the editor of The Top of His Game, the best sports writing of W.C. Hines. It's the second collection put together by the Library of America. Bill Littlefield, thank you so much for being with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, absolutely love the book. We've been raving about it. We had Bob Ryan on the show a couple of weeks back. He was raving about it as well. It's such a wonderful collection from a guy who really is larger than life.
Yeah, I'd have to agree with you. And I think one of the extraordinary things about Bill's writing is people discovering him for the first time now are thoroughly impressed, even by pieces that were written, you know, back in the 40s and 50s and 60s.
Well, absolutely. And I love the way the book began with, I think it was Transitions, and talking about his move from being a war correspondent into the world of sports, that just really set the tone for the entire collection.
Yeah, I think that is exactly what we were trying to do with the book. And then, of course, also introduce people to the idea that here was a sports writer who could go into a clubhouse and talk to a baseball player, for example, who's returned from the Second World War and say, oh, yeah, I know about that tough battle you fought. I was just across the river writing about it from a very short distance.
Hi, Bill. This is Bruce Pratt. One of the things that I loved about the book was the relationships that you could see between Hines and some of the athletes that are profiled. Do you think that can happen anymore? Can a writer be that close to an athlete and still be the great writer that Hines was?
I won't say that it can't happen, but I think if it's going to happen today, it's much more likely that the athlete is not going to be a major league athlete. He's going to be somebody who is either on the cusp of making it or somebody who's at the end of his career and has recently retired, so there aren't so many writers hanging around him. There's so much more insulation today between the athletes and not only the writers but the fans. And when Bill was writing, that was simply not the case. He could offer an athlete a ride home or a ride to training camp. And the athlete would say, sure, I don't mind. I'd like to save on the gas. That's not the way it works now.
There are so many wonderful pieces, too, involving the sweet science, the sport of boxing. Did you find yourself, when you were revisiting some of those works, missing the golden age of that sport?
Well, I'm not going to say that I miss boxing because that's not my favorite sport. I'm not a boxing fan, but I'm a writing fan, and it's undeniable that some of the very best writing in the field of sports is writing about boxing, and Bill, as far as I'm concerned, is definitely at the top of the list of people who managed to do that. Of course, a lot of people are familiar with Brownsville Bum, the story of Bummy Davis, which is not really so much the story of a boxer. It's a story about a man who happened to be a boxer, but whose life gives people a glimpse into just how complicated human beings can be.
Did you set out to make this be the best book you could give to aspiring sports journalists to learn how to write? I teach creative writing, and I thought about this as I was reading. I thought every one of these events is something that you want to bang home to your students. And it must have been very difficult to choose it's a lengthy book, but for all the great things he wrote.
There are some great things that got left out. There's no question about that. But speaking to your earlier point, I think the danger is, you know, take Death of a Racehorse, for example, which is a column which has been anthologized lots and lots of times, and I'm sure lots of teachers have used it when telling their students something about using concise language and getting out of the way of the story. The problem is most people reading that story are going to say, holy cow, I can't be a writer. I could never do anything like this. And they're going to be right.
Right. Well, some of them probably should be discouraged.
Bill, is there a lesson here in the writing of W.C. Hines that can be used in the modern day when deadlines come quicker, when the internet demands up-to-the-minute reporting and fast is sometimes better than good? How can we take the work of W.C. Hines and translate it into this new world of journalism?
Well, leaving aside the obvious differences between when he was writing most of his stuff and now, I think integrity is the great lesson. Bill had huge respect for the people about whom he was writing. He cared about getting their stories right. And the reason he cared was because, as I say, he had respect for them. And in many cases, he was great friends with some of the people about whom he wrote. We did an event recently up in Vermont, and was speaking about the book to a group of people up there in Manchester, Vermont. And after we were finished, a woman came over and introduced herself to me, and she said, I'm Roxy Graziano. I'm Rocky's daughter. And my dad knew a lot of writers, but Bill Hines was his favorite. And I don't think that was any accident. I think Bill went out of his way to really get to know the people about whom he wrote as people and not just as subjects for stories that he was doing.
Well, and you got to know him as well in the last several years of his life. What kind of a person was Bill Hines?
I liked Bill very much, and it's one of the great lucky things in my life that I got to know him starting around 2000, 2001. I'll give you just one story to indicate what kind of guy he was. One of the times I visited him, my wife was with me, and Bill asked about her family, and she said that her dad had been a thoracic surgeon. And a couple of weeks later, we got a copy of the book that Bill wrote about a surgeon, carefully inscribed to my wife. It was just a very sweet thing to do and utterly characteristic of the kind of person he was.
Do you think the fact that he took such great pains to know not just the athlete, but when he could, the families, like with the Marcianos and the Grazianos, that informed his writing in a way that modern sports writers aren't able to do? I mean, you can interview an athlete for hours in front of his locker, but I think if you sit in his mother's house, you learn things about him or her that you can't learn otherwise.
I think you're certainly right that that's a great way to learn about an athlete, about anybody that you're writing about. And I think there are some writers today who work hard and do the same things and do their homework and do their research and their investigative work. But I think it is harder today in some ways than it was for Bill. And he did have the opportunity to write that long-form stuff for magazines where they didn't expect the stuff to come in the next day.
I also noticed that a lot of the athletes would say to him at one point, Bill, yeah, I'll talk to you because you always wrote good about me, or you always wrote well about me.
Well, they trusted him.
Yeah.
They trusted him, and I think that was justifiable.
We're talking with Bill Littlefield. The book is The Top of His Game, The Best Sports Writing of W.C. Hines. This is the second collection the Library of America has done after Red Smith. Are there future collections in the works?
Well, I don't know. If there are, I haven't been let in on any future collections. I did speak to Dan Okrent, who's an acquaintance and who was the editor for the Red Smith book, and we've had a little bit of friendly rivalry going back about which of those two was really the better writer. Of course, I maintain Bill is the better writer because he was so much more versatile. Red didn't write any novels, and Bill wrote MASH, and, you know, Red didn't do those long-form pieces, and Bill was the master of them.
I grew up reading Red every morning growing up, and I would give the nod to Bill. And that's somebody who grieved when Red retired, even though Dave Anderson was great afterwards. But I really missed him. But, yeah, Hines. And the other thing I think that's so interesting about the way you pick these stories is that you can see some of the same incidents, some of the same narratives in a very short form and some in a longer form, especially with Jim Tescher.
Right.
I mean, how do you get people to really be interested in a rodeo cowboy? Well, you know, he really did. And
yeah.
I think showing that different lengths make a difference in the story was really important. I thought that was a brilliant part of the editing part of this.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. I felt that there was an opportunity presenting the stuff that way to demonstrate something about Bill's method, because sometimes he'd be writing a column and he'd have a guy that he wanted to write about, Jack Hurley, for example, boxing trainer, but he would realize, my goodness, there's so much more to do, and so then he'd go back and do the long-form piece, and then even after that, he'd revisit it and talk to more and more people and get more and more of the story. And there's a kind of a sense, I think, in reading that stuff of the way he worked, and perhaps also of his inclination to think, you know, no matter how hard I work on this, it's never going to be the whole story. And I just have to do the very best I can to do it as well as I can and do as much as I can.
I remember my mother reading to me, who, and she was never a sports fan, in fact, anything but the opera over anything, reading one of his pieces from Look magazine, or Life, I forget. I think it was Look. I was pretty young at the time, but about, she said, if you can write sentences like this, you should be doing better in English.
Yeah, he was quite a writer, and it was hard work. And you know, he I think he acknowledged that it was hard work, and he took great pride in it.
Bill, I'm a huge fan of Only a Game. I have to ask you some inside information. Is it as much fun talking with Charlie Pierce every week as it seems?
Yes, the answer is yes, it is. I look forward to it every week.
Well, we are so happy to have you on the program this afternoon. The top of his game, the best sports writing of W.C. Hinds. It's one of the best reads you will ever find for sports fans, for writers, for fans of just wonderful immersion in words and their beauty. Thank you so much for being with us, Bill.
Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
Ten minutes before the hour here on Downtown, we will take a little break.